When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's AEW Dynamite Review Show here on the unofficial WWE podcast. Today is Friday, February 11th, 2022. I'm a day later than usual, at least. And honestly, guys, I don't have a lot of time tonight, but I did want to at least get on here to talk a little bit about this week. No, I was going to say last night. This week's episode of Dynamite, because there was so much to love about it. And honestly, it was probably the perfect week to not get into like some super analytical podcast, because honestly, there's probably not a lot to analyze. We're more just going to talk about subjectively what was enjoyable and not and such on this show. So I'm excited to get into all of it. And without further ado, guys, let's get going.
You are not on my level.
I will give you Cowboy Sammy.
I came to AEW to dominate.
Took him on Jeff Perry.
Nobody is going to take this away from me. This is mine once again.
All right, you guys, I hope you have all had a great week, and I hope you all enjoyed this episode of Dynamite as much as I did. I think this was very sports entertainment-y. And we're going to definitely talk about that too and where that came into play. But you know what? I don't think it was too much to a fault. And subjectively, like I said, guys, a lot of this stuff, I'm going off a feeling, less of like an analytical point of view and just how I felt while I watched this. And there wasn't a point in this show that I wasn't entertained. So based off that fact, this was one of my favorite Dynamites ever. Do I think it was the most well put together? No. Do I think it was the most critically acclaimed Dynamite? No. Do I think it was the best Dynamite ever? No. A lot of no's. But did I really enjoy myself while I watched it? Yes. And did I enjoy the senseless violence in the main event? Yes. Was I hyped about two flipping women's matches? Heck yeah, I was. Tony Khan, I hear you. I see you. I know. If I yell into this microphone loud enough, maybe one day you will hear me and book women's wrestling the way it deserves to be. And on top of all of that, guys, Jay White debuted. And I guess Keith Lee did too, but Jay White. No, I'm kidding. And this amazing Keith Lee debut. So the MJF segment, the awesome CM Punk, Jon Moxley tag team match. We're going to get into all of it. But before we do, as always, guys, I have to do it. We have to talk about it. Patreon, 99 cents, $1. I'm not sure which one. I think it's 99 cents a month. Completely ad-free. All of these shows, patreon.com/WWE podcast, or go on the Patreon app and just search the WWE podcast. You can get all these shows ad-free if you are a subscriber on Patreon, and I think there are other tiers as well. We're not going to get into that here. If you're interested, go check it out. On top of that, if you're interested in ad-free listening, I was about to say viewing, listening experience, you can also subscribe on iTunes. So you can get all these shows ad-free, some exclusive shows as well. It pays to be a patron. It pays to be a subscriber on iTunes. It pays to be a part of the WWE podcast family here. With Discord servers talking about talking during WWE pay-per-views, I don't know. I haven't really. After that Royal Rumble, guys, it's going to be pretty difficult to get me to watch another WWE pay-per-view. But amongst many other benefits. So if you're not a Patreon, if you're not a subscriber, if you're weird, go check that out and become a subscriber and become a Patreon member, because It's definitely a bang for your buck and worth the price of admission. So we got a bunch of awesome, great co-hosts on here besides myself. Zach Smith, Michael Ritter, Matt. I could go on. The list goes on. So you're definitely in the right place if you're looking for all of your pro wrestling / sports entertainment coverage. And if you want it ad-free, that's where you go. So, all right, let's get into Dynamite now, guys. Let's talk about last night's weird episode of Dynamite, but definitely super enjoyable. And let's just kick it off with the opening, which was MJF and the Pinnacle in the ring. Wardlow and his cardboard cutouts were so... Wardlow, guys, I feel like Wardlow is like one of Paul Heyman's wet dreams, because he doesn't overact. And I've definitely heard Paul Heyman talk a lot about this, and that's why I bring it up. Also, he's a big guy who throws other people around the ring, and he's got charisma, and he's probably a bunch of bookers' wet dreams. But that ponytail's, they got to do something with that, but he's got to figure that out. But other than that, Wardlow is really good at just putting the right amount of effort into facial expressions and the right amount of expression, and it feels like he never does the same facial expression. It feels like, if you guys ever seen one of those feelings charts, like if you remember from in like school in a guidance counselor's office, or maybe in a therapist's office or wherever, maybe just online or something, one of those feelings charts with all those little smiley faces, or not smiley faces, just little faces with all the different expressions and the feelings underneath. Wardlow is like a walking feelings chart, and every single emotion on there has a different expression on his face, and it's not overdone, it's just really well done. I don't know if anybody else is noticing this. They definitely cut to him a couple times too during this whole spiel, so I just want to give Wardlow all the props in the world, because he had a squash match later on in the show. We're not going to cover it. You guys know the deal. The only thing I'll say about it is, you know what, it was good to see the blade, and it was good to change up the length and the exact format of the whole thing, so I enjoyed that. But other than that, guys, I just want to give Wardlow his flowers, and he was incredible this entire segment, and he didn't even say a word. So, all right, then obviously we had the rest of the Pinnacle come down, and MJF is carried out like royalty, and just kisses one girl on the, or gets kissed by one girl on the cheek, and then just goes at it with another, and it's great. Everybody wants to boo this man out of the building. So, you know, and the over-the-topness of it was something I really enjoyed, it because not just because I love watching MJF be this amazing heel and just booing the crap out of him, even at home. That's not true. I don't do that. I don't boo at my TV. Why? Do you guys do that too? No. I really liked how much this put CM Punk over. If you think about it, if somebody is celebrating a victory over you, or over a wrestler, specifically, I guess, over a wrestler here, so much, and they're making such a big deal out of it. You, the person who lost to said wrestler, must be a pretty big deal. So I really did enjoy that underlying aspect of this whole thing as well. But let's get to the actual meat and potatoes of what happened here. So MJF essentially is obviously, first of all, actually before I get into MJF's promo, I just want to give props to Justin Roberts, who was incredible in this segment. Just the right amount of disdain for MJF and Sean Spears and the Pinnacle and everybody. But also, he's still a ring announcer and he sounded great. So announcing that entire portfolio that Sean Spears presented him with. Sean Spears also has found his role here and plays it so well. So all the props in the world to Sean Spears as well. I did want to throw that out there. And you know what? Cash Wheeler too. Specifically, both Dax and Cash, but more so Cash Wheeler, is just loving himself and enjoying the walk down to the ring and then wearing the suits and everything. This was all just the whole presentation of it before I continue to go on and on about how great it was. Was so great because it was like, God, I hate these guys. I just wanted someone to suck him in the head as he's dancing down the ring with a stupid little mullet. It's great. Great, great, great heel work. So, all right. So MJF thanks his big strapping young friend, Sean Spears, for making it so he could win the match. You know, without Sean Spears warming him up ahead of the match, he wouldn't have been able to do it, obviously. Just Wardlow, again, not overacting, just great, great reactions to this. He does the whole thing where he claims to be better than Brett in Canada, better than Piper in Portland, and better than Punk in Chicago. And then says that his intentions now are to focus on Hangman Page and the AEW World Championship and winning the world title. So before we can even get into any of that, though, we get CM Punk entering without his music. What do you know? And he didn't enter with a microphone because that would be weird that he would just have a microphone all set. No, Tony Schiavone goes up, hands him one. It just a very, although this presented an impromptu match later on in the show, I really liked the small details that went into making this production feel real.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And I will move on with that. But he has Singh and Darby Allin come out with him. Just because, again, he's not stupid. He knows what happens. Numbers game. Good. So we like our baby faces. Smart, guys. We like smart baby faces. And then the weirdest thing happens, and I just didn't expect it, and I loved it. CM Punk challenges Wardlow to a rematch, not MJF, because Wardlow obviously was the real reason that MJF won that match. Such a brilliant ending, guys. Such a brilliant ending. And, this clearly gets under MJF's skin beyond belief, right? And he's like, no, that's not what's going to happen. How about, I don't know, Dax, like, takes off his suit, talks about how he doesn't want to be wearing a suit. That was weird. And MJF says, you face Dax and Cash. You beat them in their rematch or whatever. You beat them and you get a match against me. That's obviously how we get our impromptu match later on between Jon Moxley and CM Punk. Spoiler alert, right? With Jon Moxley and CM Punk versus Cash Wheeler and Dax Harwood, FTR. And he says, except, you know, it can't be Sting or Darby Allin, obviously. So, yeah, I thought this segment was awesome, guys. And it was very sports entertainment-y. Start off the show with an opening promo, whatever, all this stuff. But I thought it was really, really well done. And MJF rarely misses, you guys. So this hit for me. I thought this, I was entertained. I enjoyed this. And I felt like, although my feelings on an impromptu match, right? Because AEW's never done that. And Raw and SmackDown, right? That happens 6 out of 7 matches on the card, right? I like the sports emulation feel to AEW. However, I didn't mind this because I subjectively just enjoyed the match so much later on and this segment. The only thing I would have done to change a little bit would be to maybe have someone in the back, like a, I don't know, like a Daniel Garcia annoyed with CM Punk because, you know, he had a match, or 2.0 was annoyed with CM Punk because they were supposed to have a match at that point. Like, there was something scheduled that got bumped off the card or something along those lines. I think that, I don't know exactly how to do it, guys, because I'm not the one who's booking it. But I think just something to make it feel a little bit more realistic. Or maybe you push something to Rampage that was supposed to be on Dynamite. Or I don't know exactly what you do. But that would have made me enjoy this and make it feel more sports feely. And you get the fun part of an impromptu match. You can do both. You can do both. There was a lot of debate about this online, I think, as to whether or not it was a good thing to do or not and whatever. And again, AEW's pro wrestling, not sports entertainment, yada, yada, yada. There's a way to do these things and do both of them and do them well. And you know what? I'm all right with the fact that they did this a little bit more on the sports entertainment-y side of this. I enjoyed it, like I said, subjectively. And the match, which we can just talk about now because we might as well. Here we are, right? First and foremost, guys, I gotta say, the pop that Jon Moxley got when that music hit. You would think the guy's been, you know, hasn't, you would think this was his return. The fans are still so excited to see Jon Moxley back, as am I, obviously. So I popped huge too. And this, what a great pick, throwing it back to when CM Punk came out, immediately when Jon Moxley went away, right? CM Punk came out into the ring and said that, you know, called Jon Moxley doing the most brave thing he could possibly do in the moment. Just, you know, having his back regarding the entire situation. So a really, really beautiful moment, as well as just awesome. Like, what a dream tag team match, Jon Moxley and CM Punk. And then, guys, CM Punk throughout this entire match and the match with MJF is showing me that CM Punk is the greatest seller in professional wrestling. That's right. Dolph Ziggler, I'm sorry to hear it. And yes, Dolph Ziggler on NXT as well now, too. I'm sorry to hear it. No, CM Punk, the way he sells the leg, the way he sells his panic when he's in the big rig, the way he sells any injury to his body, he doesn't just, like, sell it and then not sell it when it's convenient. He's convenient. He continues to sell the injury throughout the entire match. And it's just, it's something that hopefully a lot of these younger guys learn from CM Punk while he's wrestling in AEW still. That it adds so much effect to a match. And just, yeah, it might slow it down at points. You might not be able to do all the cool things exactly the way you normally would. But it adds so much effect to a fan watching a babyface selling an injury like that. It's so, you just want to get behind them even more. You want to be like, it's just, it's a lost art. And I hate to be that person to say something like that. But it really is. It's a lost art. The ending to this match, there was one timing issue, and I'm not even going to mention it because I just enjoyed this match subjectively, just watching it. I had a good time. So, the big rig, what's it called? Near fall was the one part that was a little off, but other than that, the timing for Jon Moxley, but other than that, guys, I mean, Jon Moxley and CM Punk did a doomsday device in this, and the double finishers, the way to end the match with the tease of hitting the GTS and the paradigm shift, but instead the actual end of the match being the Anaconda Vice and the Bulldog Choke, or I think it was a choke from Jon Moxley. Really, really, really creative and smart, because I hate the idea sometimes that singles wrestlers will beat a formed and, like, well oiled machine, like FTR, in a regular tag team. So it was nice to see that they had to have both tag team partners taken out, because that was the only way that these two guys were going to be able to beat that team. And it was a really, like, well-fought victory. I think FTR are, like, low-key on a streak lately. I've really been enjoying... For a while, they were kind of off. I thought they were not... It wasn't the FTR that we were all excited to see in AEW. And I feel like the last couple weeks, they've been on a streak for me, guys. So I really, really love this match. And I know we're hopping all over the place. But let me just go right off of that, and let's talk about the two women's matches on the show. And yes, you guys, your ears are not deceiving you. I said it, two women's matches. Yes, technically they were both glorified squashes, but two women's matches, guys, on one Dynamite show. We are making progress. Keep it up, team, squad, group. I know you're out there. I know you guys are out there. You freaking deep fanatics like I am. So... I want to quickly talk about the Jade Cargill match first. AQA, otherwise known, I'm going to start calling her We're calling her Equa. Awesome debut. I remember, if I'm correct, she was the one who beat Toni Storm randomly on an NXT show. I could be wrong about that with that shooting star press. That looked great, and that near fall was awesome. And I think it was no mistake that Jade Cargill threw out that good line about being green like money, right? Obviously referring to the fact that she's still very new to wrestling, right? And then she wrestled another green wrestler, right? Aqua. Another Booker T trainee, which was good to see. And she was able, this was like a competent wrestling match. She was able to carry, I don't mean it like that, so patronizing, like I'm like, oh, good job, team. No, like this, she was able to, yeah, the two women got lost here and there, and there was a spot in the, after the near fall of the shooting star press, where they kind of had to, you know, reset, redo on the other side. But for the most part, like, this was enjoyable, good, entertaining. I was really, like, best case scenario for me, guys. So, all power to Jade Cargill calling herself green leg money and then showing that she, you know, still only a couple months in to this pro wrestling thing, she's able to carry a match. So with somebody who is not a seasoned veteran whatsoever. And we're talking beyond your just Ty Conti's and Anna Jay's, who are a green still as well, but you're like, you're fresh crop green trainees like AQA. So I really thought this was a great match, and it was really cool to see AQA, and I hope we continue to see her. I thought her little promo, you know, on the way to the ring during the entrance had a lot of fire. So I'm interested in seeing the rise of AQA. Sadly, I think that means I'm going to have to start watching Elevation and Dark, and I don't nearly do enough of that, so... Moving on to the second women's match of the night, Serena Deeb is getting her own 5-minute challenge, guys. She came down the resort. I'm going to forget this woman's name, and maybe I'll look it up so I don't seem too unprofessional to you guys. But the Professor's 5-minute rookie challenge, Serena Deeb versus Katie Arquette is the name. Yeah, I mean, not much to say about Katie Arquette, sadly. I was not focused on her during this. This 5-minute challenge was awesome. Serena Deeb comes out of the ring cutting a promo about how nobody can last with her, how she beat Sky Blue so impressively the week before. She quickly... Like, my favorite part of this whole thing was she looks at her wrist, like, looking at a watch. I loved that part. Turns around, lets Katie Arquette grab her from behind. But the way she wrenches in that Serenity lock with the arm twisted around, like, oh my gosh, both my fiance and I winced in pain for this poor, poor woman who got put in this hold. It looked brutal. And Serena Deeb is just showing that she is better than anybody else at what she's doing right now. So I really, really enjoyed this. Two more segments I really want to cover on this show, you guys, which was the, three more segments. The Inner Circle team meeting. First and foremost, let's go back to earlier in the beginning of the show. We had Sammy Guevara, Jake Hager, and Chris Jericho all come out. And then Santana and Ortiz obviously came out separately with their own entrance music, which, by the way, guys, is awful. Does anybody else feel that music is terrible?
However, what was not terrible was the dialogue, because give Santana a microphone every day of the god week. This guy is such a good underrated promo, and I feel like we talk about it every single time. They give him a microphone, I get my little microphone here, and we rant and rave about Santana. Ortiz's lines were cute about we solve our problems with our fists, like, okay, manly man stuff. We watch Spike TV and solve our problems with our fists and drive our F-150s or whatever that truck is. You guys know what I'm trying to say, I think. It just was not, maybe you don't know what I'm trying to say, because I don't even think I knew what I was trying to say at that point. However, I really, really like this segment, because it was the first time I felt like this program was going somewhere that didn't feel like it was being 100% directed by Chris Jericho's ego. And I'm really excited for the return of Eddie Kingston. I assume now this segment, guys, got me more excited for the match with Eddie Kingston and Chris Jericho at Revolution, if that's where they're headed, than the last couple weeks, months have of, I don't know, 2.0 and Daniel Garcia and all this stuff and whatever. This was the best thing that the Inner Circle has been a part of, and the best thing that Proud and Powerful, the best thing that Chris Jericho has been a part of. I would even say Sammy Guevara, which obviously he had a part in this as well. We're not going to do the whole recap, but in a while. I really thought this was a good segment, and I'm excited. I thought that, like I said, I thought the dialogue back and forth was good. I thought Santana particularly cut a great promo. I think Ortiz looks incredible. I will give him that, absolutely. And Jake Hager didn't say anything, but he stood there. So I'm excited for the match next week. My early prediction, I don't know. I guess it would behoove them not to go with Proud and Powerful, because you want the momentum, but then, I don't know, does Chris Jericho cheat to win and that's a heel turn? Maybe that's where they're going to go. That's my assumption. So with all that being said, guys, the next thing I want to talk about is the best debut on this episode in Dynamite in a while, and that was, of course, none other, two words, Jay White. Of course, I'm talking about Keith Lee, however, I do want to talk about that quick segment backstage with the Young Bucks and Adam Cole and Trent and Rocky Romero and all this. The only thing I want to say about this is it was another backstage interruption. And the reason I'm bringing it up, not I should just bring up another backstage interruption, because it happens all the time, right? Better than that one show, but still happens at least once a show. At least once a show. Find me, guys, I'm begging you. Somebody out there, find me a Dynamite where there isn't a backstage interruption on it. Or at least, at the very least, an interruption at all. But the Young Bucks said something like, oh, you know, we looked at the script, saw you were doing a little interview or whatever, like, thought we'd come interrupt, like, which is essentially, like, how AEW does the stuff with the quote-unquote hidden camera. And, like, I admire them for making an effort, I guess, but here's the problem, is when you do all these backstage, like, interruptions and stuff like that, it doesn't work. You can't acknowledge what you're doing and that just be okay. It's like, it would be like me coming to your house right now, knocking on your door, opening up the door, punching you in the face and saying, yeah, well, I'm punching you in the face right now. It doesn't work as much. So that analogy made no sense, but let's roll with it, guys. Let's talk about Keith Lee, because Keith Lee was unbelievable. First and foremost, guys, the pop. Second, I feel like there's so many wonderful things I loved about the show. I'm not going to nearly hit every point, but I do want to mention this stuff. First and foremost, the pop for Keith Lee was so... It felt so good to hear him get a response that he truly, really deserves, right? We have all... I assume if you're listening to a podcast called the WWE Podcast, you have probably suffered alongside me as we watch Keith Lee be told that he has to wear a shirt because he doesn't have a six-pack. Be told that he has to wrestle like a big man because he weighs over 300 pounds. Be told that he has to have a gimmick because the way he is isn't good enough as Keith Lee. And be not given a microphone because the way he cuts a promo isn't the way Vince McMahon sees a big man cut a promo. And Keith Lee came out there, soaked it all in. The crowd was going wild for Keith Lee, took his fucking god time taking that shirt vest thing off, soaking it in, right? And I couldn't have been happier for him. Number two, Isaiah Cassidy, the perfect opponent. I love the scream that Isaiah Cassidy does when he gets thrown up in the air, thrown out of the ring, whatever. Power slammed. I was really hoping it was going to be on a spirit bomb, but I was okay with this as well. Three, Keith Lee's in-ring work, right? Oh my gosh, the beginning of the match where he just chucked Isaiah Cassidy. And on top of that, right, the crossbody over the rope, like the Keith Lee that we know and love, and not even all of it. Keith Lee saved some of that in the repertoire for next time we see him, for the time after that, for the ladder match. Like, there is so much more coming from Keith Lee than we even saw, and what we saw was, it felt so good to know that Keith Lee was actually in there the entire time. He didn't go anywhere. He just wasn't allowed to do what he wanted to do. The outside power bombs on both the Private Party looked effortless. That power bomb on the apron looked brutal. 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 I love the finish to this match. And number four, Isaiah Cassidy. What a performance by Isaiah Cassidy. The man, like, right, of course, Keith Lee is so strong and is able to throw him around like that. But Isaiah Cassidy is getting that elevation as well and making Keith Lee look like a million bucks. So like I said, kind of falls back into point number two here of why, what a good opponent. What a perfect opponent for this specific debut of Keith Lee on Dynamite. And last but not least, guys, I want to talk about Matt Hardy. What do you know I want to talk about Matt Hardy, who walked out on Private Party? What I'm hoping this means, it probably won't, guys, but what I'm hoping it means is that Private Party can break off of the Hardy Family Office. We can get their old theme song back, because I love that, like, the blah, 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 Private Party. Like, that, I miss that theme song. And I miss the, I miss Private Party without Matt Hardy behind them. It's a buzzkill. People think Jeff Hardy's coming, and that's why this is happening, for the nostalgia show. I don't know. I'm going to be honest. Don't get me wrong. I was a young girl with the biggest crush. I wasn't even that young. I was the biggest crush on Jeff Hardy, and I was always rooting for him during that whole WWE Championship. Like, I am still a Jeff Hardy fan. But the man, it looks painful. I have secondhand pain watching him wrestle, whether or not he's in pain or not. And any other opinions I have on anything else going on doesn't really matter. So, yeah, I don't need to see the nostalgia show. To me, I can't imagine how they're gonna. They could prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. And like they do with Sting, every single time Sting puts on a performance, somehow manages to wrestle, and they hide the negatives and accentuate the positives so much so that this man does not look his age whatsoever. In fact, he looks about half his age. So maybe I'm wrong, and maybe they will do something incredibly impressive with Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy when Jeff Hardy comes in. But yes, Keith Lee, awesome. Just really, like, I really wanted to put that over. And honestly, I hope he wins the Face of the Revolution match. And I assume maybe Wardlow might win too. We haven't even gotten that far though. That's a whole other conversation I have too on a preview and prediction show for Revolution, which is shaping up to be a pretty great card. I think Keith Lee is going to win that though, if it's not Wardlow. And we're going to get Keith Lee versus Sammy Guevara, which is a dream match for me. I don't know about you guys. So, I didn't even know it was a dream match, but it's a dream match. Just, again, I think, you know, Isaiah Cassidy made Keith Lee look this great. I can't imagine how great Sammy Guevara is going to make him look as well. So, maybe if he sells an injury sustainably like CM Punk, even better. But, last but certainly not least, let's talk about that cocaine empty calorie banger that was the main event, the Texas Death Match between Lance Archer and Hangman Page. And let's go negative first, guys, because I want to end this show on a positive note. I've been relatively mostly positive, I'd like to think here. This feud was awful and unimpressive and not good. Let's call a spade a spade. This wasn't good, right? However, with that being said, I don't know about you guys, I had a good old time watching this f***ing match. The we'll talk about the finish, but yeah, the color always helps. It helped that this match wasn't very long. That helped the pacing of the whole show. And it was really helpful, too, that that they beat the living crap out of each other and Hangman Page is a lunatic. It was, like, bumps like that bump on the steel stairs will never get... I don't know how you'll ever normalize that, as much as AEW definitely pushes the throttle all the way down with all this violence and gore a lot, probably way overused. So that's negative and positive, I guess. Let's go back to the negative here. imagine how much more you would have enjoyed this match if AEW was a little bit more restrained with its extremely violent matches. To keep it simple. I don't think we have enough time to go down the whole, at least I don't have enough time right now to go down the whole, that whole rabbit hole of AEW's problem with just being a little bit too excessive with the blood, the violence, the gore, the matches, like the blood, I mean the blood matches, the no DQ matches, the lights out matches, the Texas death matches, all that stuff. It's a little bit, you know, anything is supply and demand, guys. And when you get more of it, it's not as valuable as when there's less of it. That's just how everything works in the world. That is why there's very few of things that are supposed to be very valuable. I assume that's how this whole NFT thing is working. I don't really know. I don't even know what an NFT really is. To me, it looks like a drawing that my dog could probably do most of the time. So, all right, but back to this main event. Let's talk about the positive, and the final positive I want to talk about is the finish. Wow, what a creative finishing maneuver. Who am I? Bully Ray? What a creative finishing sequence to the end of the match, right? Yeah, okay, so there's been this theme with this Bryan Danielson match and Hangman Page where it's really hard to take Hangman Page out enough to the point where Hangman Page is unable to hit the Buckshot Lariat, right? Is his number one move, the move that gets it done for him. You take out his legs, you take out his arms, somehow he still managed to do it, right? Dan Lambert saw that, he goes and removes the top rope so Hangman Page can't hit it. Instead, after some barbed wire shot, Hangman Page, by the way, after being ricocheted, like just like bouncing like a cartoon character off the steel steps from the ring post, from the black, what is it called? The blackout from the off the ring apron onto the steel steps into the steel post. After punching Lance Archer in a bunch of times with the barbed wire, does the Buckshot Lariat off the referee's back, I think it was Bryce Remsburg's back, through a table. They overshot it a little bit, sure, who cares? And then is able to get up and obviously get the victory. What an awesome finish. However, I will throw this out to you. And again, I hate to be negative Nelly on this because I really did enjoy this show. I'm being honest, right? I really subjectively just had a good time watching this show, you guys. If it weren't for that finish, yeah, don't get me wrong. The blackout was like crazy. But if it weren't for that finish, would we really be sitting here talking about how fun this whole thing was? I don't know about you. I don't think I would. You remember the last thing you see. It's always the most important thing. So to close out a show like that, it's great. But I still stand by my point. They didn't need to book this. This was a waste of time for me. They could have done a better challenger. I understand it's like, oh, it's an intern? You guys know what I'm trying to say. The same word that makes it so Sammy Guevara is apparently allowed to wear two title belts. It's ridiculous. I'm not even going there right now. But you have so many amazing people on that roster. You could have done something much better than, you know, putting your champion and this other guy's body through all this violence for what? For what? For empty calories. You know, guys, I got empty calories at home. I don't need it on my AEW television that much. So, all right. With all that being said, though, guys, sorry, this review was a little bit shorter this week. I know we didn't go down the entire card, but we covered the main points. That's what matters. And I'm sorry I was a little late this week as well. We're going to get back on schedule next week, and we're going to be on the road to Revolution. So a lot to look forward to, and thank you. If this is your first time listening, thank you. If this is not your first time listening, thank you as well. It always baffles me that you guys enjoy hearing me talk about pro wrestling. It's mind-blowing to me. So thank you as always, and I will talk to you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to Patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.